Good evening. This is the Saturday Night Bible Study. I'm Johnny Coffey, and this is Harmony Baptist Church. This evening, we're going to be in 1 Peter 4, verse 19. Tonight, we're going to talk about suffering, okay? We've all went through suffering. Sometimes it's because of sin. Sometimes it's not because of sin. And verse 19, it says, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." Nothing glorifies God more than when we suffer for him and for his sake. At the same time, nothing disgraces God more than we suffer because we are living in sin. So this evening we're going to talk a little bit about that. Notice the first part of the verse. This is wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. Let them suffer. Okay. First, let's talk about what we don't want to suffer. Why we don't want to suffer. Let's look in verse 14 or 15. It says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer." That pretty much covers everything, right? "Or as an evildoer or as a busybody in another man's affairs." Basically, it's saying don't suffer for sin. Make sure that in your Christian life that you are not living in sin, because you will suffer. The Bible very clearly teaches that whatsoever a man soweth, he'll reap. And not just reap. You notice that when you, you won't just reap how much you sow, you'll reap more. You know, when someone plants a seed, let's say corn, let's use corn. You plant a seed, a whole stalk of corn, one little seed, a whole stalk of corn comes up. When the stalk comes up, it's ears, big, huge pieces of corn. And then it's little bitty kernels on the corn. So you look at all the ears of corn, and then you look at the little bitty kernels of corn, a lot. Okay, so if you seed, and a lot of times we sow more than one seed, right? So you think about sowing seeds, living in immorality, fornication, looking at pornography, stealing, lying, bitterness. And we don't like touching those issues, right? Bitterness. You sow the seed of bitterness, and it will spread. You'll spread that bitterness to people around you. Your kids will pick up on it. You know, a lot of people, it kills me how many people that are being in church and they have children or grandchildren that have, they won't have nothing to do with God. They won't have nothing to do with the church. And if you spend a lot of time with some of these people, you'll find out that they have a seed of bitterness, and they've let that seed of bitterness spread, and their kids and their grandkids picked it up. You know, it's like, well, you know, if mom and dad, grandparents can't trust God, God's people, then why should I, right? It'll spread. You look at David. We'll go back to King David. King David sowed a seed when he took Bathsheba. He was he shouldn't have been looking at something he shouldn't have been looking at. And he said, "I want that." And he got her. And then to cover up his sin, he tried to make the honorable man, her husband, sleep with her. And he wouldn't do it because he was an honorable man. He's a warrior. And his men were on the field. So he had him killed. And he had him murdered. And then married Bathsheba, and then the child from that union died. You see how he planted the small seed of sin, and it just carried on. He ended up having to commit murder to cover it up, and then the baby died from the union. And then years later, his own kids, Absalom, raped Tamar. So you see how this snowballed. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall reap. He'll reap more than he sows. Okay? So not only did, see, his children didn't just, he did, his children didn't look at a woman across the way and commit adultery. No, he raped his half-sister. And then his brother had to kill him. So you had this big snowball effect. And that's what seeing it says. It says in verse 15, but let none of you suffer. Let none of you suffer for evil doing. Don't let, you know, and that's what, when we go through suffering, the first thing you need to check is, born again Christian, the first thing you check is, am I suffering because of my own sin? Am I living in sin? You know, I've had to do that. I've had to take stock, you know. When my marriage broke up, my wife left me, I had to take stock. It's one thing to blame somebody. You can blame the other person for what they did. But how did it get to that point? You know, I had to take stock in how I was living, what I'd done. How had I failed my wife that made her want to feel like she needed to be with somebody else? Okay? I had to take responsibility for that. And I had to do some soul searching, and I had to get along with God, and I had to pray about it, and I had to deal with that. We all need to, anytime there is suffering, anytime you go through something, the first thing you need to do is get along with God, pray, and make sure. If it's not something obvious, if you don't know it's something obvious, that's not something, you know, some of that stuff was obvious, you know, no communication, not thinking about your spouse more and that sort of thing. But there's some things that, you know, if you're on the other end, what if you were the one they were, you know, you were committing adultery? What if you were sleeping around? What if you were looking at pornography or something of that nature? You have to take responsibility for that. You get it right, whatever. There's a lot of people suffering because, you know, they just won't be honest with how they're living, okay? And the Bible is very clear. Do not suffer as an evildoer, you know? Make sure that you're not an evildoer. You're not doing evil things that are causing your suffering. Number two, look at verse 19. It says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls. First part is suffering. A godly suffering, or suffering because you're in God's will, because you're serving God, and it is bringing suffering, is according to God's will. The suffering and the according to God's will are connected. In other words, because you are in God's will, you are suffering. And that's the thing I want to focus on tonight, okay? Your suffering is a part of God's plan for your life. Look at this. It says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. It's God's will for us to suffer. You know, Jesus says that the follower is not above the master. If the master suffered, we will suffer. Whatever Jesus goes through, we're going to go through it. Okay? Jesus went to the cross. Are we willing to go to the cross? There is no way you can live the Christian life. There's no way you can grow as a Christian. There's no way you can be happy as a Christian. There is no way that you can get close to God, understand Jesus Christ without suffering. We have to suffer, but we have to do it the proper way. We have to suffer and give God glory. We have to know this is part of God's plan. If we suffer and we're bitter and we get bitter, then we're going to ruin our suffering. You know, I've seen a lot of Christians do that. That something horrible happens to them and they get angry and bitter at God and they wither away. Okay? God wants us to have the right attitude. He says, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. That commit their souls. And remember, the soul is a figurative term. It means your life, who you are as a person, okay? It says keeping of their life to the will of God. He's saying take this, your life, your suffering, what you're going through, commit that to God. The analogy or the parallel view of that is a Luke 23:46. Now let's look in Luke 23:46. It says, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice," he's on the cross, remember? "And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost." In other words, he committed his life to the Father. Okay? Remember, your life is a deposit. How are you going to invest your life? Okay? Jesus Christ, the perfect example, deposited his life in the will of the Father. What did Jesus Christ say on many occasions? "I must do the will of the Father." In Luke 4, he said, he told the disciples, "My meat is to do the will of the Father." What did he tell Joseph and Mary? "Don't you know?" When he was 12 years old, he said, "I must be about my Father's business." If you're suffering, why are you suffering? Are you suffering because you're in sin? It's on your own doing. Or are you suffering because you're in God's will? And if you're suffering because you're in God's will, you have the right attitude for this. And if you don't have the right attitude, if you're not being led by the Spirit, if you get bitter and angry, then you're going to start suffering for your own sin. It says, commit the keeping of your souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Jesus Christ is the faithful creator. We need to understand that whatever we're going through in our life, doesn't matter how it plays out, God is faithful. God loves you. God wants to bless you. God wants you to be happy. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel, that sort of thing. But this idea that we're not supposed to have joy and happiness and peace, that's satanic, okay? That's satanic. We are supposed to be happy. We are supposed to have joy. We are supposed to have peace, okay? That's part of having a relationship with God. But those things come, what have I said before? Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Sorry. "Master, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If you get love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself down, everything else will follow out of that. Evangelism, holiness, peace, joy, winning souls. That's the commit the keeping of your souls, of your life, to him in well-doing. If you're got number one and number two took care of, if you got the love God, love your neighbor, you're putting that in God's hands. You're putting the suffering in God's hand. You're putting everything in God's hand. You're putting your life in God's hand. You're putting your marriage in God's hands. You're putting your family in God's hand. You're putting your children in God's hands. You're putting the argument that you had with your fellow brother or sister at church because there was some misunderstanding, or somebody smarted off, somebody misunderstood what they said, or maybe they were just in a bad mood and they really disrespected you. You're putting that in God's hands and you're letting him take care of it instead of you coming back and feeling like you have to defend yourself. Okay? Now, why am I bringing up these things? The reason I'm bringing up these things is right now in the church, okay, we have a lot of, especially in this country, we have a lot of division. A lot of division. People are just at each other's throats, and it's carrying on into the church. And the church does not need to do that. The church needs to stay together, stay unified. He says, wherefore, let them that suffer. A lot of us are suffering. A lot of us financially, we're scared about jobs. We're scared about our health. We're scared about, all these things. We need to stay unified. Commit the keeping of our lives to Him, because He is the faithful Creator. He's the faithful Creator. He created the universe. He created every man, woman, and child on this planet. He created the President of the United States. He created the future President of the United States. He is in control of it all. So suffer. Suffer. Remember. Have joy. When you start suffering and you're in God's will, you're not living in sin, you're in God's will, and you are suffering, that should bring joy. Because you're never a greater witness for Christ than when you're suffering. It's easy to praise Jesus when everything's going the way you want it. It's easy when everything's happy, when you got somebody beside you, when you're not going home alone at night. It's easy to praise God. It's easy to praise God when you got somebody, that you're going to lay down with at night. Somebody that's there to help you. Somebody that's help you pay the bills and all that stuff. It's easy to praise God. But praise God and have joy and faith and love in Him. And you're content with Him alone. And you don't need trinkets. You don't need a new pair of shoes. You don't need a new shirt. You don't need a new little, something. You don't need to pick me up. You don't need a drink. You don't need drugs. You just need Jesus. And when you're suffering and you have joy in the fact that you're suffering for Him, and you've put your life and everything that you're going through, you've put that in God's hands. Suffer according to the will of God. And have joy. Good night.